Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 507, 22nd of June 2016. One day to the EU referendum vote. On the podcast today, I have non-executive chairman of Immu Pharma, that's IMM, Tim McCarthy, who updates the progress on their potential blockbuster drug, Lupazor. Also on the podcast, very interesting story this, chief executive of Providence Resources, ticker PVR, Tony O'Reilly, discusses the restoration of the market. And I'll remind you here, okay, this company was valued at $600 million, 3 and a bit years ago, and they didn't have as good a portfolio of assets then as they do now. And so it's worth listening to this. I'd say highly recommend putting this on your watch list, as I do in your pharma, you know. And both the guys, Tim and Tony, give us 3 reasons why we should add them to their watch list. And if you, you know, if you're convinced, then just go to Vox Markets, type in the company name and click follow. Also on the podcast, Zach Meir on the charts, and he charts the following stocks: Mirada, Ferrum Crescent, Oilex, Kimberley Enterprises, Vast Resources, Nostra Terra, Asia Met Resources, Advanced Oncotherapy, Life Science Development, and Onzima Ventures. Plus today's suggested penny stock with potential is suggested by Mark, and he's gone with Mkango Resources, MKA. So I'll read that out in a bit. If you like that, though, put it on your watch list. Get the news as it happens straight to the front screen of your phone.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is non-executive chairman of Immu Pharma, ticker code IMM, whose share price today is 36 pence, market cap just over 43 million. It's Tim McCarthy. Thanks for coming back on, Tim.
That's not a problem, Justin. Nice to speak to you again.
You too, and you've had a bit of news out since we last spoke, but before we get to that, like I said, it's good to refresh, you know, investors in the company and also potential new investors of what you're all about. So give us a broad outline, Tim, as to what Immu Pharma is about.
Yes, of course. Well, Immu Pharma is a drug development company, and we have a number of drugs in clinical development. The most high-profile drug is a drug called Lupazor, which is for the treatment of lupus, a rare autoimmune disease that mainly affects women, in fact. Quite a debilitating disease. There aren't any effective treatments on the market as we speak. And we currently have this drug in a very late stage phase 3 clinical study. That's the last stage of clinical development before we can go for marketing approval. So we're actively recruiting patients into that study now, and we should report the results of that before the end of next year. So that's really exciting. Both in terms of it being very late stage and relatively near-term news flow relating to that. So from an investor point of view, that's very important. From a patient perspective, if we are successful with this drug, which we're very confident of being, then it will be the first drug of its kind on the market for potentially up to 5 million people across the world.
Yeah, and potential sales on this could be categorised into, make your drug into the potential blockbuster category, is that right?
That's correct, and when we, in the industry, when we talk about a blockbuster potential, that means a drug which sells more than $1 billion of revenues per year, and that's an easily achievable target for this particular drug. One, because there isn't any other drug on the market, unfortunately for patients at the moment, that treats accordingly. And also, if you look at the pricing of this drug, it will be priced somewhere around $20,000 per patient per year. So every 50,000 patients that it treats, that's $1 billion. And as I mentioned just previously, the potential is up to 5 million patients across the world.
Wow. And just to explain to people who are not quite familiar with pharmaceutical companies and trial testing, there's essentially three phases, aren't there?
Correct, and they're quite simply called phase one, phase two, phase three. Mm-hmm. In early clinical development, phase one is where a drug is first tested in humans, and that's primarily to ensure that there's no safety issues with the drug. It's not necessarily, we're not necessarily trying to find whether the drug is efficacious or if it works. That's the phase two stage, where we have a limited number of patients suffering from whatever disease that you're trying to treat, and we're looking there for evidence of efficacy, evidence that the patients are getting benefit, as well as continuing to monitor if there's any side effects or safety issues. And then phase three is the last stage, which our drug Lupasaur is in, and that is generally a larger trial in terms of numbers of patients, but again, it's looking for efficacy and to ensure there aren't any safety issues with the drug.
Okay, and you recently did a symposium with the inventor, which is Professor Sylvain Muller, is that right?
That's correct. Now, Professor Muller works for the French National Research Institute called the CNRS, and Professor Muller is a very well-renowned scientist. She's in fact the inventor of Lupasaur, and she came over to London a couple of weeks ago for a couple of days, and we held a symposium. It was over 2 days. We had four separate meetings to include different audiences. So the audiences included institutional investors, including some investors that are in our stock and some that aren't. We had a meeting with research analysts, healthcare analysts, where there was also a meeting for private investors. And then there was another one, which was a general invitation. Every single meeting, we had positive feedback, and the purpose of the symposium was for Professor Muller to explain how she discovered the compound, and more specifically, to explain in scientific terms how it works on the body, and essentially how what it's doing is modulating the immune system such that we deliver an effective treatment to lupus patients. So she went into quite a lot of detail on what we call the mechanism of action. And then also quite excitingly, because of the way this drug acts on the body and in the immune system in particular, not only does it have potential in lupus patients, but it has potential in other autoimmune diseases. And to give an example of some of those, that might include rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis. There are a whole number of autoimmune diseases which, because of the unique way that this drug works on the immune system, we have every opportunity of expanding the use of this drug into these other indications.
Yeah, and it's quite exciting there. And also, I saw an RS a while back on the an increased holding of Alto. Can you give us some more information on Alto?
Yes, of course. Your listeners may not know, depending on how much they've followed ImmuPharma, that we did a fundraising earlier this year, and that fundraising was primarily to fund the phase three study, which was fantastic because we're now fully funded, and obviously we've got the opportunity to deliver the results. Also, this study next year, towards the end of next year. And as part of that fundraising, a French fund called Alto Investors, who are specialist healthcare and technology investors, came in as part of the fundraising, and they were new investors. They hadn't been investing in ImmuPharma on before. So that was fantastic. But then very shortly after the fundraising, they contacted us again and said, look, we want to take an even closer look at the company and its drug development programs. And in fact, at that stage, we put them in touch with Professor Muller, such that they could do a lot more deeper due diligence. And one of their own experts just happened to be a lupus specialist, which was fortunate for us. But it also meant that Professor Muller and that this gentleman could speak at a level which was a lot deeper than most other people could speak at and understand. And as a result of that more detailed due diligence and follow-up, Alto have actually purchased more shares in the company. Obviously, that was secondary purchase in the marketplace because we're not raising any more money. And then as a result of that, we put out two RNSs, in fact, one to say that they'd increased their holding to over 3%. Then very shortly after that, they bought more shares in the marketplace and increased it to over 4%. So quite a significant investment from Alto. And I think it's important that investors understand that this was a very rational and knowledgeable investor who knows the area of lupus very, very well. So it's always pleasing to get new investors on board, but when you have somebody that knows the area extremely well, I think that gives a great external validation for what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a tick of confidence there, isn't it? When someone, like you said, specialist in the field, has talks with you and on their own research wants to take more shares in the company. So that's it doesn't get any better than that, really. So also an RNS recently out, Northland Capital's recently appointed joint broker. Why was this?
Well, we've had Panmure Gordon as our nomad and broker for a long time now, and they've done a fantastic job and continue to do a fantastic job. And obviously they helped us very much in the fundraising over the year. But since I joined as chairman, which was back in last September, I've been working with our head of communications, Lisa Baroon, quite a lot to try and get the story out and educate the investor marketplace as to the what I believe is a great opportunity with IMU Pharma. And as part of that overall exercise, we felt that if we brought another broker alongside Panmure Gordon, in this case Northland, then that would just help us in that overall investor relations program. It does mean, of course, as a consequence, that we get another knowledgeable research analyst writing on the company, a gentleman called Vadim Alexandre, who I'm very impressed with. And I'm hoping that we'll get a research note written by him in the near future. But it if I may use the phrase, it just adds a little bit more ammunition to what Lisa and I are doing in terms of raising the profile of the company.
Okay. And so just to clarify, so you're at phase 3 trial now, and that's what European patients have commenced dosing. And so what other bit of news can we expect in the next few months from IMU Pharma?
Well, in terms of the progress of the phase 3 study, we're trying to keep the market updated on a regular basis. So as the study progresses, we've put various RNS announcements out, such as the US sites are open and started to recruit patients and dosing. And then similarly, as you referred to quite recently, we've confirmed that the European sites are open and they're recruiting patients and dosing. And then as we move through, we will keep the market updated as the progress of the recruitment and the study. And that's important because to know that there are no issues emerging from the study and that the patient recruitment is on track, very important messages just to keep relaying to the market, because obviously the biggest piece of news will be at towards the end of next year when we get the results of this study.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's a case of you will have news flow along the way, and that's always reassuring to investors, I'm sure. Okay, Tim, well, listen, if we need to round up there all the positive points, if you can put them and concentrate them down to 3 points as to why someone should put you on their watch list, please.
Yes, of course. How I would summarise it, Justin, is that we have a very unique opportunity to develop a drug and get it to the market relatively quickly for a condition called lupus, which is not adequately treated. As I explained earlier, it's a multi-billion dollar opportunity for the company and in turn its shareholders. We've got very, very good clinical results to date, and there's no reason that we can see why those clinical results won't translate through into the phase three. We own 100% of this asset. It's not licensed out to anybody, so the upside for us is total. And in terms of news flow, as you say, there's plenty of news flow coming up over the next year, 18 months. And, you know, we look forward to delivering some positive results at the end of next year.
Yeah, well, I can add two to that. You are, like I said, you are fully funded for this trial, yep. Which is always a good thing. And this is not the only drug you have, is it? I mean, this is the most advanced in stage of development, but you have other drugs as well, are you?
We do, actually, and thank you for reminding me about that, because obviously the focus is always on our phase three study for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But we do have some other drug candidates, some development programs. In the clinic. They're at various stages from phase one, phase two, in other areas, so includes diabetes, cancer, ophthalmology, and these actually, all of them are emanating from the CNRS, the French Research Institute, and some of them from our own research as well, but very exciting. And I guess you're right to remind me that I should continue to highlight those, because we are turning our attention to those now to see how we can progress those. So they may very well be the subject of news flow over the next 12 months. Yeah.
Marvellous. Tim, thanks for coming on. I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
You're very welcome. Good to speak to you again, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Executive of Providence Resources, that's PVR ticker, Tony O'Reilly. Thank you for joining me, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Now, I had a call from one of the guys at Vox, very excited to have a chat with you. And he said, this is a big story. You need to get these on the podcast. So I'm intrigued, as I'm sure many a listener is. There are people who have heard of you, I'm sure, but there are people out there listening right now who've never heard of you. So, Tony, can you give us a basic outline as to what Providence Resources is all about, please?
Yes, Providence Resources is a Irish-based and headquartered company involved in exploration and development of assets offshore the island of Ireland. We've been for many years the main player, the largest acreage holder offshore Ireland. We can't actually claim that anymore, because suddenly we've been joined by a couple of major super majors coming into the offshore arena in Ireland. So that's no bad thing, because it validates everything that we're about. But we are basically a company that has a portfolio of exploration prospects and appraisal projects. And our two notable appraisal projects are the Barry Row oil field off Cork and the Spanish Point gas condensate project off the West Coast. And then we have a number of large, significant resource plays off the West Coast of Ireland. And really what the company is all about is taking the assets to the next stage and co-venturing with some of the world's largest companies. And to date, we've been very successful working with companies like ExxonMobil, Eni, Repsol, Petronas, etc. So we're a company that obviously looks to advance the portfolio for the benefit of its shareholders and then leverage in third-party companies to take the projects through to the next stage.
Excellent. And so, as for the size of these assets, what do we know so far about them? Can you give us an outline as to that?
Well, yes, in terms of our appraisal projects, being Barry Row and Spanish Point, we have about 358 million barrels of net audited 2C contingent resources. And then we have a further 4.79 billion barrels of gross unrisked prospective resources. So we have significant volumetrics. And importantly, and I think what separates us from a lot of AIM-listed E&P companies, we also have material equity stakes. And in that regard, most of our assets, we own anywhere from 50% to 80% of the asset, and in certain cases, 100%. So that obviously gives us the opportunity to basically trade down our equity for farm-ins in the future, and that is a key strategy for the company.
Okay, and as regards our recent financing, the proposed placing offer and open offer, can you take us through the details of that, please, Tony?
Yes, well, yesterday we announced a major placing that will fundamentally transform the whole business. The company had some liabilities, a debt to a U.S. debt holder of about $21.7 million. We also had some liabilities to a drilling contractor. And so what this financing has effectively done has restored the health to the balance sheet, raising just shy of $70 million net. And the proceeds from this equity raise will allow us to extinguish all our debts as a business, and then allow us to move forward with a debt-free balance sheet in our various commercial negotiations on Barry Row and Spanish Point, which are our main two assets. And also, this financing will allow us to finance our share of a very high-impact exploration well, which we will be drilling in the Porcupine Basin off the west coast of Ireland next May, June, and that's called the Druid Exploration Prospect, which is got estimated prospective resources of upwards of 3 billion barrels of oil. So a very significant world-class exploration prospect, and I think our shareholders have come in and said, we like your whole portfolio. We want to fix your balance sheet and give you the, in a sense, the balance sheet strength for you to go and conclude various commercial transactions. And we will also give you some financing to ensure that you can drill this very high impact exploration well. So as a company, we will be very much moving from being on the back foot to going on the front foot. And our ability now will be to execute drilling programs off offshore Ireland, which is what investors invest in companies like us for.
Yeah, and as regards the bigger environment, the oil price, and anything that, I mean, is your eye, obviously your eye has to be on the oil price, but I mean, at what level to become, you know, financially unviable for you? I mean, you know, we are now around $50 a barrel. Is that a good price for you?
Yeah, and indeed all of our prospects and projects would have operating costs and development costs substantially beneath $50. So we obviously don't even need a $50 price deck to consider these opportunities. And I think the more important message, and it's clear that when we talk to investors, I think there's a lot of people starting to share this belief, and that is that the amount of cutbacks by the industry in terms of projects is going to impact future supply. And obviously that's good for a resurging oil price in the years to come. So we've gone through the depths of very low prices earlier this year. You've had major projects being canceled or postponed. And that will inevitably lead to supply shortfalls in the future, with obviously the corresponding increase in pricing. So the long-term prognosis for oil prices, I think most people are quite optimistic. But what's even more apparent in this current environment is that we have a unique situation where the oil price is actually at a good level now and expected to increase. But what's fundamentally changed, and what gives us the ability to go off and do things in this current market, is that your costs have dropped substantially. I mean, we are looking at costs today that are a quarter of where they were 3 years ago. And that really presents a unique opportunity to capture the low-cost pricing environment now and then basically explore and develop opportunities offshore Ireland into a rising market in the years ahead for the oil price.
So you're at quite an exciting juncture here, aren't you?
Well, I think it's an amazingly exciting time for us. I mean, we've obviously, many small E&P companies have faced very tough times. Some have gone out of business. And I think thanks to the support of our shareholders through this financing, we have got a unique opportunity going forward to really, as I say, get on the front foot and really capture this low-cost oil price, this low-cost operating environment into a rising market. So it has been a transformative financing. Obviously, it's still subject to shareholder approval, but I have to say thank you to all our existing and indeed new shareholders. We have a top-class institutional shareholding in our business. And what this financing has done is further enhanced it. And whilst I can't disclose the names of the placees until after the placement is done and the EGM in mid-July, I think that investors will see that we have some really high-quality, long-only institutional investors who believe in Providence, believe in the strategy, our portfolio, and our management team, and they backed it up in what is a difficult market still, because the market is still choppy. So it's a great encouragement that the basically the UK institutional market has supported a company like Providence doing what we're doing offshore Ireland.
Marvellous. Well, Tony, if anyone needs any more convincing to put Providence on their Vox Markets watch list, could you give us a three basic bullet points, please?
Yeah, well, I would say the first thing is that this financing improves our balance sheet and our financial position, which allows us to move forward and conclude commercial negotiations on our two main assets, where we're looking to do farm outs on Barry Row and Spanish Point. The second point is obviously that this financing enables us to advance the portfolio, and indeed we're not a one-trick pony. If you go onto our website, you'll see that we have an extensive array of assets, and obviously now this gives us the financial capability to basically further that portfolio. And then finally, I would say what people like when they invest in an E&P company is activity, news flow, companies actually doing something. And I think what this financing affords us is the ability to move forward and do many things across the portfolio, but particularly drilling the Druid exploration prospect, which, as I say, is a world-class exploration target that there aren't many that are of a similar scale in Northwest Europe. So it's a very exciting time for, I think, our investors, and hopefully there'll be quite a lot of news flow over the next 12 months where shareholders can see us basically advancing the portfolio.
Marvellous. Thank you, Tony. And just one other thing. So what's the next sort of significant date in your calendar here we can look out for?
Well, I think a couple of things. We obviously have our annual results, which are more historical, which we will put out next week, mid-next week, and that's just statutory to put out our financial accounts 2015. And whilst the numbers are probably less important, I think it will be a good summary, descriptive overview of the business. We then have our EGM on the 14th of July to ratify the financing. And then really from that, then there's all the subsequent announcements that one does when one is doing a drilling campaign, as we will be doing on Druid, you know, all the booking rigs and all that. So there'll be lots of news flows that will flow through the summer months into the autumn. And then obviously the key thing that is focus for all of us is concluding some of the commercial negotiations that we have on Spanish Point and Barry Row. And obviously now we have a balance sheet that is strong enough that we can conclude commercially advantageous deals for the benefit of our shareholders.
Marvellous. Tony, thank you very much for coming on, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
Great. Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the UK's favourite technical analyst. It's Zach Meir. That's a quote, of course, a famous quote, and one I'm sure Zach will be in favour of.
I think that's exactly the right thing. Exactly the right way to describe me. Favourite. Okay. The nation's favourite.
Well, let's go through why you are the favourite there by looking at the charts, Zach, and tell us what you're looking at and why you're looking at them. What stocks are you looking at, fella?
Right, I'm going to start off with Mirada and M-I-R-A, which I wasn't going to look at, but because it's one of today's risers or the rise of the day, but I wasn't going to look at it because, you know, you don't look at every riser. But it does actually have one of my favorite chart patterns or chart setups, which is the rocket launcher, i.e. a gap through the 50-day moving average.
Yeah, and this has been patented by you, isn't this? This phrase, isn't it?
Yes, the rocket launcher.
Copyrighted.
It's just something that normally, in fact, Mirada did this in February and it didn't actually go anywhere, but it hasn't actually gone down, if you see what I mean. But Normally, when you see a gap through the 50-day moving average, it's the start of a very big move, or a decent move, let's say, a very big move. So in this case, shares are around 5.3 pence. I'm thinking that they will go up to a November resistance line towards 8 pence, so a line drawn through in November and January highs and the stop loss really back below the 50-day line at 4.5p, 4.4p, something like that. So you're not risking too much. But all these things are, you know, contingent things that, you know, if we stay above this level, then we go to that level. And but you're finessing the best sort of signals or setups, really.
I see. All right. Okay. And what's the next, Zach?
The next one is Fareham Crescent, where I was at an event last night, and one of the private investors that I know very well was there, and she said that she bought some Fareham Crescent, yeah. And she's quite a canny lass, so I've had a look at it today, and it looks quite encouraging.
Can we mention this canny lass or not?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure whether she will. Well, I suppose I don't know. I'd have to. I think it'd be better to ask her permission. You know, millions of people knowing her name, her first name even. It could, you know, it could be.
What's the first letter of her name?
R.
I see. It could be anyone. Yes. All right, it's very great. They're on the podcast actually, and it shot through the roof. And it was one of those stocks where you see that they had a lot of exposure, and they came on, and people sort of grabbed onto it. And it went mad. It went absolutely mad. You know, from 0.1, and it tripled in price almost overnight. You know, but they've come back a bit, haven't they? So they're at 0.21 now. What do you see happening here?
I see here just a line of support from March that you can draw through the lows since then, and we're just on that line now. We're just bouncing off that line, so I think that should be. The shares basing out. If you draw another line from last August through the October high, you it points at 0.8. Best thing here probably is to wait for, if you want to wait for it, a break of the 200-day moving average of 0.24, because I think if we do that this time, we will go up and stay up, if you see what I mean.
I see exactly what you mean, Zach. I know what you're talking about.
So that's that's one to keep an eye out on. Yeah. Next one is OilX, which another of today's movers. But I think it's interesting here that we had the gap to the upside earlier in the month. Mm-hmm. If you can see that through sort of 0.45, something like that. We had the rally up to 0.8, filled the gap, and then have bounced off that gap. So message here, about 0.4 pence, let's say, we could have another run to the upside and hit that 200-day moving average at 0.77 pence.
All right, that's OEX, OilX. What's next then?
Next up, one which I've had to be very patient, which is not in my nature. Kimberley Enterprises, really weird chart. Presumably very illiquid, but for earlier this month, it really was quite strange. You had all those days just bobbing along the 50-day moving average of 0.8 pence. Okay. Last couple of days, we've broken the mid-June resistance at 1.5 pence. And my view is that above 1.5 pence, we could start accelerating towards 3.5 pence, which was the initial June resistance.
What's the ticker there, Zach?
KBE.
KBE.
So I'll start saying the epic codes.
Yeah, yes. I was thinking that. Yes, that's quite a popular little stock on Twitter at the moment. KBE. Definitely.
Yeah. So it just looks like. I mean, you could wait for 2 pence to break, which would be the next high. But I think it's already on its way after the logjam has been cleared near 1.5 pence.
All right. Okay, KBE, that is Kimberley. What's next?
I had to look at Vast because I know a lot of people are into that, or they talk about that. Probably the best way forward here, the shares are a quarter of a penny. Wait for the 50-day average to break at 0.29 pence, as I think if they can do that over the next few sessions, we will go up and stay up. The overall formation here is a falling wedge since February. Falling wedges are bullish, so we're just breaking that line at the moment. So that is looking encouraging. Stop loss back below 0.2 pence.
Okay, marvellous. And the next?
Next, NTOG, which Nostraterra. This has been one of the most frustrating companies in the recent years. I think most people would disagree with that idea. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm putting it forward now, even though every time it's bounced in the past has been a false move, is that we have actually gapped off the lows. There's a gap through the 20-day average. We had the low of the year just below 1.5 pence at the beginning of June, and then higher lows above 1.5 pence. So it looks as though there's a bit of a momentum here that could be enough to take the shares back up to support on the way down, which was at 3 pence. but probably given how much suffering there's been, I'd only suggest that this is back in full recovery mode if we can hold above 3 pence on a weekly close.
Okay, marvellous. And the next?
Next, couple of stocks that you pointed out.
Yeah.
First, the legend that is AsiaMet Resources. Interesting juncture here. We've had this price action recently near the 200-day moving average, 1.78 pence. Three or four little intraday probes towards that, but not actually touching the 200-day line, which is a good sign. Mm-hmm. Because normally the bears will, you know, take a stock or market back down to that before going higher. We might still see the 200-day line tested or touched rather, but I would be looking to buy dips towards the 200-day line at this stage, and only back below 1.5 pence, which was resistance on the way up, would stop this being a buy on dips.
Yeah, cool. All right, and the next is what?
Advanced Oncotherapy.
Oh, yeah, another one. Yeah, I've asked someone else me to get it on there. Yes, and they've had a bit of a fall down to 5 pence.
Nice little bear trap there, in fact, because the low in December was, 4.75 pence, and the low this month, actually, it's not a bear trap, really. They bounced off exactly 4.75 pence. It looked as though it was a bit lower, but 4.75 pence in December, 4.75 pence now, and a sharp move off that. My view is that we should, on an end of day close above 6 pence, which was the old May high, then head up to the top of the range, which is 8 pence plus. So looks as though the worst out of the way there. It's also interesting that you can see that on the June support, the RSI didn't go lower than the May low. And so looks like there's plenty of momentum, even more than we're already seeing behind recovery there.
Okay, and can I give you one more
yep.
to look at? It's Life, L-I-V-E, and this is a Jim Mellon little vehicle, but it was, you know, grinding lower slowly on no news. It was a copper development company, I think, before he took it over there, and just since they took it over, it spiked up like crazy on the news that he was taking it over. Then it just grinded lower from 5 pence all the way down, pretty much just below 1.5 pence, and then last couple of days, Zutum.
Yes, I covered it on Sunday evening. I was very keen because, you know, I can't wait. All I have in my life is the, you know, these little stocks. So couldn't wait for Monday to turn up. So I did a recording then. I thought that it was going to break a resistance line from January running through 2 pence and power higher, which is exactly what happened.
I wish
I put some money on it. The current situation is that we've broken the 50-day average, 2.34 pence, very cleanly, and have stayed above it. Might be a probe back towards it, maybe 2.5, 2.4, something like that. But as long as we're above the 50-day line, I reckon it's going back to the 5 pence that it came from.
That's a Sunday night stock from Zach there.
Yes, relax,
and check out my Sunday night stocks.
Right.
Cool.
Finally, right. it's also because if you're feeling rough on a Monday morning, you've already done the dirty work. So let's see.
There we are.
The situation, the final stock here is Onzima Ventures.
Okay, yeah.
Which I believe I will be interviewing on Thursday, on Brexit Day, or not Brexit Day. I like this because we've had the breakthrough, the March resistance, which was 1.32 pence, mm-hmm. and the lowest since then has been 1.35 pence. So new support coming in above old resistance should be bullish. It must be very bullish because we want these things to go up. But this should be a mid-move consolidation, and while above 1.3-ish, heading up to a resistance line drawn from January, heading to 2.5 pence.
Marvellous, Zach. Well, now, do you know what? It's always a pleasure to have the UK's favourite TA on the podcast. And I, you know, thank you very much for appearing. I mean, you're a busy schedule. I know you're nice to squeeze me in there, you know?
Well, yes, it's always nice to squeeze you in, Justin.
I bet. Cheers, Zach. Speak soon.
Thank you.
Okay, today, suggested penny stock with potential is suggested by Mark. Thanks for getting involved, Mark. The company is Macango Resources, ticker MKA. If you like what you hear, add it to your follow list, your watch list on Vox Markets by hitting follow on that company's page, and you get RSS straight to the front screen of your phone. What does the company do? It's Advanced Stage Rare Earth Project in Malawi. The PFS was November 2015. And some of the rare earth minerals here are, excuse my pronunciation, neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, and terbium, all key elements in expanding green energy sector. They also have a very promising uranium asset. All these commodities are likely to be in demand in the coming years as the green revolution continues. How many shares does the company have in issue? 71 million. What's the current price on market cap? Current price is 4.88 pence. Market cap 3.29. Let me just check that. I think it may have gone down a little bit since I checked last. Let me check that there. So MKA, it is 4.6 pence. And I've got the market cap here. Let me just check the market cap. It's just showing a little bit different here. 3 million, yeah, 3.3 million at the moment. So, list three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, the asset. Net present value of $345 million with resource upside and expansion potential. No value as yet has been assigned to the uranium play, which is indicating very high-grade material. Reason two, the costs /money. Lowest quartile, that's $216 million capex. Open mining, so OPEX should also be very favorable. This combination is attractive to joint venture offtake partners. Number three, free float, skin and cash burn. Directors and management own 34%. Directors will not be taking wages for another 12 months. To me, this shows commitment to the project. So that's Makango Resources, MKA ticker. Check it out. If you like it, click follow and add it to your watch list. Thanks for listening. That's it for the podcast today. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.